Today, kind of, it's not a really good subject, but it's called suicide. And we're going to talk a little bit about it and what we can do to help others, okay? I did a little research, and suicide is the third cause of death among young people. The third cause of death among young people. There are 34,000 suicides per year. That's a lot of suicides. Whoa. I can't hear you. Overall, suicide is the 11th leading cause of death for all U.S. Americans and third leading cause of death for young people 15 to 24 years old. Death rates continue to be highest among older adults ages 65 years and over. I was really astonished by it. I thought if you get that old, surely you got it right and everything will be fine. There are 121 suicides per day. One in every 25 attempts of suicide will actually be a suicide. So there's people out there that have tried it, but 24 of them didn't work. Mm-hmm. One in 65,000 children 10 to 14 age group commit suicide each year.
Wow.
That's awful.
Wow.
Well, there's a lot of reasons why, John. Suicide is rampant because people don't have hope. They don't know, you know, some of them I think probably know the Lord. It's just that they don't have a personal, intimate relationship with Him. So, we're going to talk, there's some people in the Bible also that committed suicide. So it's not just, I mean, it's been around before. So I'm going to read that for you. In 1 Samuel 31, yes, 3 through 5. The battle became fierce against Saul. The archers hit him, and he was severely wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised men come and thrust me through and abuse me." But his armor bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. Therefore Saul took his sword and fell on it. So when he did that, his armor bearer, which, does anybody know what an armor bearer is?
Yeah.
Yes, John, what? He carried the armor for the king, yes. And that was probably a heavy load because they had big old shields and weapons, and that was his duty to do. He was so upset that Saul took his own life that he killed himself. And then we have another one. Okay, Judges 16, 25 through 30. Here we go. So it happened when their hearts were merry that they said, "Call for Samson that he may perform for us." So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them. And they stationed him between the pillars. Then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, "Let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them." Now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof, watching while Samson performed. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. Okay, and then of course in Matthew... Matthew 27. Matthew 27, 3 through 4. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. He then threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. So suicide is rampant. It was in the old days and it is now. Now let's talk about what we can do to understand. Let me just, one of the things that I researched was, and I think we've all been here, a lot of it, especially younger kids, is bullying. But do you realize that you may be being bullied at work? And this is some of the things that it might help you to realize that you are being bullied at work. These people will put you down in front of others. They place pressure on you. God bless you. They start rumors that aren't true. Sexual harassment. Undermining everything you do. Taking credit for something you do. Bullies are insecure people. They feel inadequate in some way and feel empowered to pick on someone weaker. You know what's so sad? I believe that a lot of us today can say that we may have bullied other people. It may be just laughing, making fun, mocking, especially in school. I mean, you're either bullied at or you're bullying somebody else. But these people, yes, Miss Edith.
This happened to me Monday.
Monday?
And my coworkers, there was three of us in the office, in my office. And the other two were talking non-stop for 3 hours about personal stuff, making phone calls and this and that. And it was distracting me. And I'm not the type that was upset. Would y'all tone it down? Because I let my boss say it for me.
Yes.
And so she called them into her office, but when they got back, they turned the radio on up louder, they talked louder, and hadn't said a word to me since Monday.
You know, it's sad, but these people are insecure. If you... You know, when you're a child, everything about peers and being in the cool group and all that, that's important to them. And it's important to you. Even nowadays at church, you know, so-and-so's sister over there and her little friend, they didn't say anything to me. They don't even like me. They ignore me. Well, sister, will you turn my phone off, Dave? That's that game that Isabella plays and the cat meows all the time. It's crazy. You didn't hear it?
We don't know how to turn the volume down. We've been trying to do it.
Just turn it off. It's fine. I apologize for that. It's so important for us to feel accepted. There's not one person in here that does not want to feel accepted.
Yep.
And lots of times we feel like, and I'm sure the ones that are in wheelchairs and stuff, walkers, whatever, you probably were bullied before too. How people look at you, maybe make remarks at you, laugh at you, mock you. You know, it's because they're insecure. It's not you, it's them. But sometimes it's become so overpowering that we feel less of a person. We feel less adequate. And I remember in first grade, every day after school, my friend and I got these two boys would wait on us in the alley and they would throw rocks at us. This happened every day. And I never understood why they did that. But anyway, my mother did take me into the principal's office. It embarrassed me to death. And she lifted up my dress in front of Mr. Floyd. And she went, look at these bruises all over her. You know, well, the kids got in trouble and so forth. Well, later in ninth grade, I asked him, why did y'all do that?
I don't know. Y'all just beat the target.
But I mean, kids, they know better. You know better. I mean, and now that we have the internet and stuff, there's cyberbullying, there's bullying everywhere.
Yeah, on the news this week, they showed it on the news about this kid being beat to death.
Yeah, and they film it, and you know, it's terrible.
They're trying to get some laws passed on that.
Right. They are making more attention to the bullying and stuff. But I think all of us probably here have been bullied once before. But what, and it feels bad. And I'm sorry that happened to you, Edith. And, you know, God wants you to forgive these people. and pray for them. And it's hard to do, but if you pray for them, he puts heaping coals on top of their heads.
Well, fortunately, God has planned. I already know what it is.
Oh, good.
They're going to be putting them in the office by themselves.
Good.
But they don't know where exactly where they're going to put me.
I hope not in the janitorial closet, but
destruction. And I told my boss, I don't have to work in a quiet setting.
Right.
That's not it.
Yeah.
But when you have to sit there and they start as soon as the two of them get together.
Right.
And but when one of them leaves, the other one's quiet, won't talk to me. And when she leaves, that one won't talk to me now. And I said, you know what, the day they get to move to their other place that they're going to, I'm going to say, it's been nice knowing you.
Yeah. Well, we need to forgive people that. But what's more important is some of us in here probably bullied other people. And without realizing it, I know I made fun of a girl in school because she had to wear the same dress every day to school because they were poor. And it wasn't just me, it was other people, you know, mocking her and stuff. And I've asked God to forgive me for that, though. I'll never forget her name. And she cried every day. And I think, how cruel was that? Because they didn't have money, she's less of a person, you know, or making fun. I hear people all the time talking, they belong on the short bus, you know, just different stupid stuff.
It has just been made up fun of because I can't, you know, go to work. I said, you need to go to a group home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's not.
Well, what the great thing is here is what can we do to help these people that are committing suicides? There are suicide hotlines, there's counseling, there's places, but it's become so bad that most of the suicides are in teens and people 65 years and older. That just shocked me. And I guess you just give up. Yeah. But you know, like Ruth and I was talking earlier, she doesn't get to drive anymore, and that is lonely. She has to stay in the house, and it's like a depression, you know? And I can see if somebody was alone or in a funeral home and all, a nursing home, you would get lonely. But the answer is Jesus. Amen? Amen? Jesus is the answer for all of this. I had asked Kimmy, just so, you know, lots of people say, oh, they just do that because they want attention. Most suicides are from gentlemen. Most women think about it, but most men do it. And I think that's because God made us emotional. But as you know, a few years back, Kimberly tried, and it was so devastating. Every time someone commits suicide, it at least affects 6 people and even more, you know. So I was going to have Kimmy talk a little bit about what she felt or what she was listening to, you know. And maybe that can kind of help somebody else. And if you start to get these feelings or, well, go ahead, Kimmy, feeling isolated or whatever, what would you like to say that God's told me to?
Well, ever since I was a little kid, that's something I always thought about. I always thought, well, the world would be a better place. And when I was younger, I see now that I really did that for attention.
Mm-hmm.
But this case, I was taking care of this little boy who was autistic, and he didn't have a mom, so I needed to step up and be a mom. And it was very, very hard. I didn't really have any help. It was just me and this little boy all the time. Y'all would take him out when you could. And he didn't know any better, so I mean, it was constantly beating me up and just so much trauma in the home. Me and my boyfriend at the time, it was very emotionally abusing. And I just remember feeling so alone, and I just couldn't take it anymore. I just had no peace. I had no comfort. And just one thing that he said just set me off. And I remember very clearly, I just went and got the bottle of the pills. And
okay.
We fought over him. Thankfully, he got a lot of them away, but I ended up taking like 6 or 7 sleeping pills, and they were like 150 milligrams each.
Oh.
And I remember, I'll never forget that feeling afterwards when I'm laying there. And I'm praying, God, I'm so sorry. And I know that it says in the Bible I'm going to go to hell. And I'm so sorry. I wish I never did this. I just hope that you can forgive me. And ever since then, I will never even think about it. Just saying the pain that it caused my family. And how afterwards, every time I would see a friend or a family that, you know, I hadn't seen in a while, I would just start crying. So I'm like, you know, almost not crying, you know. Almost wasn't able to get the chance to see. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And ever since then, God's just taken that all away from me.
Amen.
And I just feel so guilty, like God couldn't forgive me. And it was one of the times when Joel and his people were coming to church, and they didn't know that all that happened. And it had been a couple weeks, and one of the ladies that I didn't even know came up to me and said, God said that he saw what you tried to do to end your life, and he forgives you.
Amen. Mm-hmm. He does forgive us.
Yeah.
And it is in a desperate state that we get. We get overwhelmed, and and it's not because I, too, and I broke that curse off of my kids, but I, too, you know, was going to commit suicide that night until that friend came over. You get in a state to where you think everyone would be better without you. That's where you get. You think everyone would be in a better place, that you are a burden, that people just would be happier without you. And that's how you get, that's how your mind works. It's not like, oh, I wonder how many people are going to cry at my funeral. It's not like that. If you get into a bad state where you think...
I can remember there was times like that in my life before I even knew any of y'all. I was staying with friends, and, you know, I was really wanting to get off of welfare and go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just have a normal life. And I really, you know, had really talked to God about, oh, let's just go.
Mm-hmm.
But then I said, God, you're not going to take me to hell if I do this. I didn't get a good feeling about it.
Yeah. Well, and that's never the answer. It's never the answer, but we think that it is.
Yeah.
But it's not. We do get a picture in our mind of, well, if we had X amount of money, or if I was skinny, or if I could walk, or if I didn't have my ailments, or if I had the perfect body, if I had a different nose, if I could talk in front of people, if I had talent where I could sing or do something in front of somebody, if I had a better house, if I had X amount of money. See, we get these things in our mind because we look around at other situations. But I want to tell you today that God loves you right where you are. If you're in a mess, He loves you. His love never changes from yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So I just want to encourage you that that is not an answer. That it's, and usually things, when we build them up in our minds, they're not. It's when you need to talk to someone. Go, hey, you don't have to go into it. I'm struggling. I really need you to pray for me. And for Pete's sake, don't ever say, I don't know why, you know, I get up every morning and I praise God and I go on my way. Well, I never have those thoughts. That's wonderful, but there are people out there that have physical depression. It's in the mind, and it's a deficiency of something that they have. And if they have to take medication, let them take the medication. If they need counseling, let them have the counseling. Pray for them, but let's be sensitive to other people's needs.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't find that sympathy and that, well, not just sympathy, but if you cannot find that compassion and love in your church, then there's something wrong with your church.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want us to be aware of things that are going on. We need to look at our kids. We need to listen to them. We need to be there for them. We need to be there for your family. We need to be there for each other. If you're having a problem, that affects me because I love you. And that's how we need to be. And I can tell you right now that I have probably mocked people that are on the side of the road. They're wanting money. Well, I bet they're just going to give that money and go get a beer or something. You know what? If God tells you to give somebody on the corner $3, you better darn well do it.
Amen.
What he does with it, that's between him and God.
Amen.
But if God tells you to do something, you better do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to quit making fun of people that are homeless, mm-hmm. that have less than you, because you're not in their shoes. Mm-hmm. Okay? So let's be more compassionate. Let's be careful about what we say to one another. Let's be careful about how we talk to one another. We need to respect each other, especially married folks. You need to respect that person you're with. Okay? You don't need to talk down or degrade or berate them. You need to encourage them. And Shannon, you're going to be getting married. And it, you know, I tell you what. When my first marriage, anytime we got in a fight, it was like, say the worst thing you can to each other to try to hurt that person. It was terrible. And I, you know, once again, I had asked God to forgive me. But he was abusive, and I, you know, but that doesn't give us the right to be ugly to people. Mm-hmm. You should not berate people. You should not talk down to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because we haven't been there, okay?
Amen.
So let's go to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for loving me and all of my sin. I just pour them out at your feet, Father, and I ask that you just make me white as the driven snow. Father, if there's anything that's in my life today or anyone in here that might have bullied somebody, made fun of them, put them down, berated them, I pray in Jesus' name that they could ask for your forgiveness and that you could cleanse their hearts. Father, help us to be mindful that we are in the situation that we need to be in at this time. And Lord, we always want to have a normal life, but really, what is normal, Lord? You can use anybody in any wheelchair, walkers, canes, whatever it is. We're all usable by you, Father. Help us to be the great servants that we need to be. We love you and thank you in Jesus' holy, holy name. Amen.
Amen.